Good morning, Danielle Raphael.
Good morning, Pam Boland. I feel like today is just going to be unhinged.
I think it is an unhinged day.
Le crimes.
There's no crimes in book club's news this week. Sometimes we're getting across some le crimes. Mm-hmm. But this week, some good news.
Yes.
We've got some very fun things to talk about. We're going to talk about a book this week. But some cool news this morning.
I love a bit of book headline business.
We love a bit of book headline business.
Nerdy bookline business. But yes, this week some really exciting news that Charlotte Wood, the wonderful Australian author, has become the first Aussie writer in just over a decade to be shortlisted for the Booker Prize, which is a really prestigious international book award. The last time an Aussie won it was Richard Flanagan for Narrow Road to the Deep North, which is a book I read years ago and really wonderful, but I'm particularly excited because I adore Charlotte Wood. She's the author of books including The Natural Way of Things, The Weekend, and Stoneyard Devotional, which is the book that she's been nominated for this particular award. It's a book about a middle-aged woman who basically abandons her life, goes off and joins a convent in regional New South Wales, this really wonderful kind of slow burn, touching on the human condition and memory and personal history. So I'm really rooting for Charlotte Wood. I'm super excited to hear the results of the awards this year.
What was Stoneyard Devotional about? I actually don't know if I know. I haven't read that book.
Yes, it was about that woman who goes and leaves her life and she goes and joins a convent in the country. And it's just about her time there. And it's also, I guess, for Charlotte Wood, quite a personal novel because she grew up in the same kind of area. So a really wonderful one. I'm a personal fan of The Natural Way of Things. I just remember reading that book and being blown away because Charlotte Wood just has this amazing writing style, candid writing style, but also has the ability to tackle really big topics. So yeah, really keen to hear what happens.
Great news this morning.
Great
now,
news, good news.
Look, a headline connected to that I read this morning was among Charlotte Wood, this Booker Prize, for the first time ever, 5 female authors have been shortlisted for the Booker Prize. The prize is awarded to an English language novel voted the best of the year by an expert panel. But it's the books must have been published. Hang on. For authors to be eligible, the books must have been published in UK and Ireland. So obviously this Australian book has gone over that way. But this year's shortlist features 6 authors and 5 are women. Now, this is an interesting headline amongst some news today about some new data that's also come out that says 9 in 10 CEOs in Australia are men. Mm. Now, there's all sorts of news like that always circulating in the headlines, but it was interesting to read these two headlines kind of almost side by side each other in the news this morning. And that's great to see. I love a little bit of representation in book world, but heartbreaking to note that the 9 in 10 CEOs of Australia's biggest companies are men.
Yeah, interesting.
It felt like a bit of a balm to that story.
Completely. And I think, you know, in terms of, like you said, representation is so important. So to see 5, did you say, women being nominated for this award in a space like that, especially the literary industry, because it is an industry, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, the last women to win the Booker Prize were Bernardine Evaristo, who won for Girl, Woman, Other.
Yeah, did you read that book?
I have it on my bookshelf,
yeah, it's
but
great.
I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
And Margaret Atwood for The Testament.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Some gorgeous good news this morning, but we're moving into our book club book of the week.
Yes.
What are we talking about this week, Danny?
Well, this week we are, before I do get into it, I've been dying to ask you all week, when you were a little girl, did you ever put on dance concerts or theatre performances for your friends and family?
I put on fashion shows.
Fashion shows. Okay.
Yes.
That's in the same.
It's in the same universe.
It's in the same universe for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Look,
it was my full-time job as a child. Like, I would, I'm really revealing a lot of myself here, but when I was in primary school, I would gather as many willing participants as possible at recess and lunch, and we would all would choreograph dance routines, and then I'd bug my teacher to make everyone sit down and watch us. Like,
in
it was
class?
In the classroom, yeah.
Wow.
And I did manage to get a few stage performances, bless my teachers. but it truly was a full-time job for me.
Yeah.
In this week's book, we are setting the scene with a very similar scenario. The book is an autobiography called All I Wanted Was to Be Hot by Lucinda Price. And for the Gen Zers amongst us, you may know Lucinda better as her online persona, Frooms. Pam, yes. Do you follow Frooms online?
I do follow Frooms. Yeah. I think I followed Frooms a few years ago when Frooms was talking a bit about money. She was sort of centering herself in a financial literacy kind of conversation, which I found really interesting at the time because there wasn't a lot of men, there wasn't a lot of women that I felt like were my age, my demographic, talking about money. And I followed her when she was sort of making that podcast with Flex Mommy, also known as, I just have completely forgotten Flex Mommy's name, but also making that podcast with her. And it was kind of pop cultural and they spoke a little bit about what was going on there. She's very funny.
Hilarious. Very funny, very cheeky, tongue-in-cheek. And this book is very much written in that style. For those that don't know, Frooms, Lucinda Price, is essentially an online content creator. And she got her start by going viral during an internship that she was doing at a big media company. And it was basically the catalyst for her getting a job at Pedestrian over in Sydney in the late 2010s, where those sorts of online platforms were really prolific. Mm. And her job was essentially, you know, writing kind of puff pieces and getting brands or products sent to her. And then she was writing these articles about things like vitamins, and then also doing really funny online content, which is what she's really good at as well. But to go back to the book, the opening chapter begins with a scene of Lucinda Price as a young girl and her best friend, and they're putting on a dance concert for her parents and her parents' friends to none other than the Pussycat Dolls' Don't Ya.
Oh, and iconic.
Look, I feel like it's just... It speaks to these wonderful cultural touchstones that Lucinda Price references throughout the book of the early 2000s. You know, the Pussycat Dolls, Christina Aguilera, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, Guy Sebastian and Shannon Knoll winning Australian Idol, like all these things that were really popular at that time. And anyway, it was a really great moment of reflection for me because, as you know, I love to do very similar things when I was a little girl. But it was also a moment of reflection because I was just like, that is so weird and problematic. And Lucinda Price sets up this idea of how when we were growing up in the early 2000s, we really only had these role models that had incredibly unattainable beauty standards and were so hypersexualized. And it sets up this idea of really interrogating the Western beauty standards that we've come to know and that have, to an extent, defined our own self-concept, particularly as women. Lucinda Price goes on to talk about her journey with getting cosmetic surgery and the dangers surrounding that. She also talks about finally landing her dream job at Pedestrian and how this was so huge for her. But a parallel to that ambition and that determination was also this, I guess, this idea that she needed to constantly look the part and constantly be putting her best self forward and the pressures and the stresses that surround that. And ultimately leading to her developing a severe eating disorder, quite heartbreakingly. And so the book is, it's really about her nipping, tucking, losing a lot of weight and ultimately losing herself in the process of that. The book is kind of, it's got the backbone of some really solid research. And look, none of these things I think are really earth-shattering. You know, we know that... eating disorders disproportionately, not exclusively, but they disproportionately impact young women and girls. We also know in recent years and from recent reporting how dangerous cosmetic surgery in particular can be. And I think most significantly how it's marketed to prey on the vulnerabilities of young women and girls as well. So we know none of this is new stuff, but I think what this book does really well is that it's so funny and so humorous in true Froome style. But it's also very vulnerable, and I think that vulnerability is really important in letting people know that they're not alone in these types of experiences.
It's really interesting to hear you talk about it, and it's really an experience that, yeah, I definitely can relate to from when we were kids, from seeing all of the women in Girlfriend magazine, in Dolly magazine, in Total Girl, to seeing the diet tips, to the encouragement of changing your looks into that social media period.
Yeah.
I think especially for people in our age bracket, Danny, we're, you know, in our later 20s, our sort of the second bit of our 20s, you know, and I remember when Instagram started.
Yeah.
I remember getting an Instagram account. I remember MySpace and Facebook and this kind of online and digital media space. And Froome's was a part of that too. She's our age. She was there when that change happened. So not only did we go from, yes, this era of the Lara Bingles of the world really making up a big part of what I wanted to be, we moved into this space where it widened, and then the Kylie Jenners of the world became huge influencers on what was the accepted standard of beauty and what was the encouraged standard of beauty. So I feel like in particular that space was so bizarre to be a part of.
It is
and
bizarre.
From this age bracket, you know, it was kind of unmeted. There wasn't conversations going on like there is now. So I'm not saying woe is me or woe is us, but I think to have someone from this particular age bracket, from this particular line of experience, as you say, with really what seems like niche but is relatable for a lot of Australian women, like to have those cultural touchstones used as ways to open up this conversation or ways or avenues into a conversation about beauty standards in Australia, I think this is a really great book, and it's definitely one that's going on my bookshelf and on my on my TBR.
Yeah,
I think it's an exciting one for sure.
Yeah.
Has there been a bit of love for this book? I know it came out over the last couple of weeks, and I've seen a little bit of social business about it. But what's the response been like to this book in the public domain?
Yeah, I mean, it only came out at the start of the month, and the response online has been really wonderful. I think, like you said, a lot of people our age have really resonated with this book because of those cultural touchstones, and there are so many moments in there where you're laughing along with Lucinda. You know, she talks about how Shanna Knoll was robbed of the top bong on Australian Idol, which is, you know, just one of those quintessential early 2000s moments, and she talks about you know, the Pussycat Dolls and all of these pop stars that we were so enamored with during that time. So there's that relevance, but there's also, I think, like you said, that journey that we've gone on together of experiencing quite a traditional media landscape to then transitioning into this social media landscape where, you know, everything is just so full on and hyper and unreal, basically, and how beauty standards have shifted and changed with that as well. I think people are really loving this book for that reason, and also because it is just ultimately a really compelling and enjoyable read as well.
It sounds like you're sitting down with a girlfriend and having a bit of a yarn, and that girlfriend has just done a lot of work to get to the place that she's in.
Absolutely. And I think importantly, Lucinda does touch on how privilege and race and class intersect with this topic, and I think that's really important to note here. But she has done a really good job of I guess advocating in this space, and her advocacy work has extended to an event in December where she'll be speaking as a spokesperson for the Victorian Women's Health Advisory Council, an inquiry that will investigate things like women's health issues, body image, and in particular this idea of women's pain and how it is under-researched, often undiagnosed in medical institutions, not to the fault of any medical professionals, but it's really just such an underfunded and under-resourced and overworked space that more needs to be done. And I think it's testament to, I guess, the strength of this book is that there is work continuing on after it's been published.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear about that idea of under-researched women's health too. It was a conversation I've had recently. We've talked about interesting headlines this year. I've touched on different things in sort of a pop cultural sense. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we saw stories that were, and even Commander Cat in the science segment, touching on the fact that we just found out that tampons contain arsenic and lead. Some of the most popular brands of tampons. It is 2024.
It's wild, isn't it?
What are we going? Yeah. What is happening that it took us that long to work that out? And I think that does speak to a sort of larger problem with women's health, with funding, with the way that we think about women's bodies. And it really is an interesting conversation to be a part of.
Very.
This is a book that is definitely going
yeah,
on my book club.
You're
going
to love it. I'll lend it to you,
Pam. Excited. Yeah. Now, obviously, we mentioned eating disorders. So if you're looking for someone to talk to about it, a great place to find some resources, some information about it is the Butterfly Foundation. They've got a national helpline which you can call and talk to someone now or chat to them online. You can call 1-800-33-4673. 1-800-ED-HOPE is the one for that one. You can also just head to butterfly.org.au and they've got some resources and some interesting information over that way that might help you get to a GP or just start a conversation with people in your life. And otherwise, go out and enjoy this book, it seems. I really, really want to catch this one. Danny, great book club rec this week.
Thanks, Pam.